foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
It's the biggest musical competition in the country.
CITR is hosting our 33rd annual Shindig. It's a battle of the bands at Pat's Pub every Tuesday night.
Our host Andy has curated 27 delicious local bands to compete for the title. Who will take the crown from last year's winners late spring? Come to find out. Fun fact, at this year's Shindig, there'll be fun facts for beers.
Thanks to this year's sponsors, AMS Events, Backline Musician Services, Canadian Music Week, Discorder, Vader Master Studios, Rain City Recorders, Mint Records, Music Waste, Nimbus Recording, Thunderbird Radio Hell, Six Cent Press, Silver Fox Postering, Band Merch Canada, Blue Light Studios, Zulu Records, Bernie Brewing, and Print Print.
Come out to Shindig this Tuesday, October 25th, to see Mark Mills, S. Lord Efferman, and Freak Dream.
Good night, Shindig is everywhere. Remember, no matter what anyone says, rock on!
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Now repeat after me. Bugger off. Bugger off. Sod. Sod. Bloody. Bloody. Now put them all together. Bugger off, you bloody sod.
Bugger off, you bloody sod.
Okay, you're in.
Let's smash things up!
Every Saturday, from noon to 1 p.m., listen to Generation Annihilation on CITR 101.9 FM, UBC Radio, in Vancouver.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is an unusual white noise. Because it's not really a white noise, is it, Connor?
I mean, it really comes down to what makes white noise. Obviously, it's the same people.
Yeah,
so
like,
if you said, you know, it's not Monty Python's Flying Circus, it's still Monty Python, so the essence of it still exists. You know, if you were talking about the Holy Grail, for instance.
That,
in this case,
yeah, that
it's
was,
not
that was the
comedy.
Longest answer you could have given me on the question. But that's okay. That's okay. But yeah, so what we're doing tonight is we're doing basically a radio version of a sitcom pilot. Just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
You know, because we can. Because why the hell not?
Because we're experimental. We're trying things.
Yeah. Could have done with a few more voice actors.
I know, right? Just you and me?
Just literally three of us doing about eight voices. But I think we got there. So, but we'll save...
Haven't heard it yet.
Yeah,
so I'm interested to see what it's going to sound
we'll
like.
Save the criticism till after, I think. But without further ado, it's time for some white noise.
Our story begins with Ian. Ian likes to dress like a goth. Ian is walking down a lovely street, and he's about to throw himself in front of a car.
Jesus Christ, man! I could have killed you!
Yeah, that was the point. Why didn't you?
It's a school zone? I was doing 30?
Oh, fuck.
Art. Written by Simon Welton.
All men have secrets and there is mine, so let it be known.
Are you all right?
I think your emblem pierced me groin.
Do you want me to call an ambulance?
No, I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Trust me, I've let consenting women do much worse things to me than that.
Oh.
Shit, I'm late now, too. Well, thanks for nothing.
So a difference starts at night.
What are we going to do?
We'll find someone.
Why didn't you just let that hot construction worker move in?
Well...
You're pathetic. Just because you thought she was hotter than you?
It wasn't that. Imagine how many loser guys she'd be bringing home. I don't want to wake up to some brute in my kitchen eating my food and bragging about what tribal tattoo he's gonna get next.
What about that neat, quiet girl? The student? What was wrong with her?
Well...
Oh, so there is a reason. Go on, then. What?
Two women under one roof?
What the fuck does that mean?
I just mean, you're the alpha right now. Why mess with that?
Alpha? What are we, German shepherds? God damn it, Xander, you fucked us both royally with this. The rent is due tomorrow.
Yes, I know.
That douchebag of a landlord won't give a shit that we haven't been able to find anyone.
Okay, yes, it is getting a bit close, but calm down. I have a guy coming to look at the room at any moment now.
Which means he's already late, right?
Well, yes, but he might still come. He sounded really interesting in his email. Apparently, he's a poet and a professional.
A professional what?
Oh, some science thing I hadn't heard of. I think he said he's a hedonist?
A hedonist?
Yeah, did you ever study that in college?
No, I haven't studied it.
Ah, perhaps that's our savior now.
You better hope he's the second coming of Christ, you moron.
Oh, you people again. No, leave me alone already. I'm only going to say this one more time. I don't want to join your cult. I just went to that one meeting because I was having a bad day.
Cult? What? I haven't been in a cult for months, dude. No, I'm here about the room to rent. Remember, I emailed you earlier.
Oh, that was you? Are you sure? I was expecting someone shorter. Well, you're a bit late. Did you get held up?
I did, actually, yeah. I bumped into someone.
Oh, right.
Can I come in?
Sure, I guess. Shit. Helen, this is Ian. He's come to look at the room.
Oh, hey. Wow, did you just come from a funeral?
Life is my funeral.
Oh, I bet you'd be a ray of sunshine to live with. So, do you have a job?
I'm a poet.
A poet? Fuck me. Does that cover the rent?
Well, no, but my father does.
For real?
Yeah, he's very wealthy, and my parents are divorced, so he's got that shitty father guilt.
Okay, then. Let's have a very quick tour around. Through here is the kitchen. So, here it is.
Oh, very tidy. I'm actually a complete neat freak too, you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My mum couldn't believe it when I was a kid. She swore I was gay.
Right. So where were you living before?
I was squatting with some friends from university, but our building got condemned.
Oh, was it old?
Nah, just a lot of messed up parties. Not that I would have them here. Obviously, this place has a different vibe to that. This place is more Josh Groban and charades.
Glad we're on the same page.
Is there room for me to store my collections?
Collections?
Yeah, you know, comics, records, action figures, scabs, shrunken heads, that sort of thing.
No.
Really? No space at all?
Not for scabs, no.
Fine. Where's the bedroom?
It's through there, but you're gonna hate it. It's probably too small for your liking, and I understand if you want to pass. I'm sure there are plenty more suitable places elsewhere.
I can make my own mind up, thank you very much. And you'd be surprised how few houses there are to rent these days. I mean, most places are just condos now, and quite honestly, our ancestor didn't leave a crowded Europe so we could live in a glorified prison cell.
I think it was more about the persecution of individual rights rather than an issue of elbow room.
One last concern. Has anyone ever died in here?
No, I don't think so.
Or gotten really ill?
Not to my knowledge.
Typical. Ah, well, you can't have everything. So, you said my portion of the rent was 1500, is that right?
Well, yeah, the rent is 1500.
A bit steep, but I like the location. I'll take it. Here, here's 750 for the deposit, and I'll go grab my things. Dude, my necrophilia paintings are gonna look amazing on that wall.
long did it take for you to say no this time?
Hey, Xander, I might need your help lifting some big stuff in a bit. Is that cool with you?
Sure.
Cheers.
You're joking. I mean, I don't really care. But you? Living with him? Honestly?
He thinks his portion of the rent is $1,500.
What? But...
I know. I was going to say something, but then I had an idea. Think about it carefully. We are going to be living completely rent-free. Do you see what this means?
Holy shit, I get you. This is our chance to do it properly.
Exactly. Like we talked about.
With no rent to pay, I could work 10 hours a week and spend the rest doing stand-up.
Right. And I can go to as many auditions as I like.
And how bad can he be? He's just a spoiled rich boy with a hard-on for Edgar Allan Poe.
Only time and inevitable pain will tell how horrific he can be.
I thought he was the goth poet.
You know what? I bet he just says he's a poet to pick up insecure goth chicks at Marilyn Manson concerts.
Well then, we'll just have to get him up on stage at the bakery tonight.
Yeah, that'll have to be worth a few laughs.
Speaking of the bakery, what time is it?
11:30.
Oh shit, I'm late again! Thank God everyone else there is off their tits by now.
That's why I'm glad I'm an actor.
Oh, yeah. You can't move in here for all the film contracts floating through the door.
I thought you were late.
Shit, yeah, see ya. Come by when I'm off. Unless, of course, Hollywood comes calling before.
You never know.
Actually, I think I do.
Fine then. You just lost your invite to my first private yacht. More room for supermodels.
And so tired. And so very tired. And I'm feeling very sick and ill today. But I'm still fond of
Sorry I'm late, Billy. The buses were just crazy.
I'm sure it's fine. What are you late for?
Work. Here.
Oh, right. Yeah. Are you hungry?
No, I'm fine.
It's the weirdest thing. Every morning I get here, and within an hour... I'm suddenly starving.
Hey, dude. Can I have a rollie?
How about something more exciting?
Like what?
Well, there's pipes, bongs, blunt papers, parachute bongs, gravity bongs, vaporizers, one-hitters, gas masks, or hookahs.
Just give me a rolling paper.
Fine, Philistine.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Just make sure you're here tonight.
What's tonight?
Tonight is the BC Bakery's famous open mic night. I host, and we have all sorts. Comedy, music, and some fresh spoken word rhymes.
Oh, right. Maybe.
Miserable hipster. I bet he'd come if I Instagrammed him. So, are you going up tonight?
Yeah, I've got a few new bits I want to try out.
Awesome. I think Dana's going to be here, too.
Oh, not her. Really?
What? She killed it last week.
Yeah, with an entire set of jokes about her vagina and her relationships. She is the epitome of the stereotypically bad female comic.
Ooh, that sounds like some sour grapes.
She's a hack, Billy. And anyway, it's not like you haven't bitched about all the comics you can't stand.
I have legitimate grievances about everyone I've ever hated.
What about that 90-year-old lady you nearly beat up the other month?
She ignored the warning light. I flashed her 3 times. I had to drag her off stage.
She has cataracts. She couldn't see the light.
Oh, people make too many excuses for the elderly.
What?
And the disabled. They're all playing the system. I guarantee it. Give them an inch, and they'll take it a mile. Slowly, of course, because they're old, but eventually, they'll take it.
You should put that in your act.
Huh. You know, you're right. I bet everyone else secretly hates the disabled, too. Huh. I'm gonna work on that. Here, man the fort. I mean, woman it. Whatever. Political correctness. That's another good topic. People hate that, too.
I stole and I lied, and why? Because you asked me to. But now you make me feel so ashamed, because I've only got...
There weren't any spots big enough for the van near the house, so I had to park it over here. Only a couple of big things, though. Mainly just the bed and the chair.
Like an office chair?
It's a little more ostentatious than that, I'd say.
Oh.
What do you think? It's based on the chair they used in executions at Alcatraz. It's my thinking chair.
It's not really my sort of thing.
Oh, good. I was worried it had a little bit too much mass appeal. Well, let's grab one end each. Oh, bloody hell. All right, to me.
This is crazy, Ian. It's way too heavy.
Well, do you have anything at home that might help?
Wait.
Okay.
Actually, we have a dolly somewhere, I think. Yeah, from the last time I moved. Just stay here. I'll go grab it. It'll make things way easier.
No worries. I'm going to sit and have another smoke. My groin is killing.
What happened?
Oh, nothing. Don't worry about it. Just a bit of light bruising. I can massage it out. I used to date an RMT. I think I remember the technique.
Okay, then.
Oh, fucking hell. Ah, yeah. Whew, that's better. Ah, that's the spot. Yeah. Yeah. That's the ticket.
Get on the floor!
What?
Get on the floor, dirtbag, now!
It's just a cigarette.
Cigarette? Sir, you're sat opposite a public elementary school rubbing your groin in broad daylight. We're going downtown right now.
Oh, come on, it's not my fault. It's the man in the Jaguar's fault.
I don't give a shit what happened to you as a kid, you sick bastard.
My chair! Wait, my chair! I can't leave it there. What if someone steals it?
No one wants your emo pedophile's chair, asshole. Get in the car.
This is bullshit.
This is why I became a cop. For days like this. Where's he gone? The lazy bastard. He's left me to do all the work. Well, I'm definitely not unpacking it as well.
It makes none, but now you have gone, and you must be looking very old tonight.
Woo! Thank you, thank you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the greatest open mic show in town. I'm your host, Billie Jean, and no, I didn't sleep with Michael Jackson. We just fucked. Where's Sean? I told you that joke was crap. I want my $5 back now. Okay then, let's bring on our first act. She's a rising star in the comedy scene, voted best newcomer at last year's Chuckle Awards. She's everyone's favorite female comic here at the bakery. It's the lovely Dana.
Thank you, Billy. How about a round of applause, everyone, for Billy? Aw, wasn't he great? So, I went on a date with this guy last week, and he was so rude. The first time he looks at my face all night was to come in it.
Hey, you made it. Where's the Dark Lord?
I don't know. He disappeared when we were moving his stuff. I had to finish it all my own. Looked like I was furnishing a Tim Burton movie. Anyway, so when are you going up?
I'm next after Mega Whore.
Oh, well, at least the crowd will be warmed up.
So you think she's good too, do you?
Well, it's jokes you don't think about. You know I think you're great, but sometimes you can be a little too preachy.
You mean I talk about things other than women's issues?
I'm just saying Dana does what sells. No one comes here to think or to be inspired.
You are a Philistine, Xander. I'm trying to emulate all the greats. Carlin, Pryor, Stanhope, they all make you laugh while blowing your fucking mind. That's the dream combination. Though a little tricky to achieve in the 5 pitiful minutes I get here.
Hey, you two. Fancy meeting you here.
What the hell happened to you?
Ah, it was the pigs, man. Got picked up on some bullshit charges.
What sort of charges?
Oh, just masturbating in front of an elementary school. But it was nonsense. I was merely palpating my groin. That's it.
Palpating?
Yes, massaging my injury, I swear.
Yeah, I bet no perverts have used that defense before.
And the police believed you?
I told you my father was rich.
So the charges were dropped?
No, not quite. He's rich, not magic. They just decided that I'm not allowed within 500 meters of the school. So now I can only turn left out of our house.
Oh dear. Wait, hang on a minute. How did you find this place?
Dude, you can smell it like 3 blocks away. I was drawn towards it like a moth to light. It smells like glory in here.
So I said, I don't care how often I eat out, as long as you eat me out. Thank you, everyone. I hope you all have a sexy night, too.
Thank you, Dana. I will have a sexy night for sure. Just gonna store that image of Dana for later. Click! That's all I need. Anyway, I once went on a date with a girl who was rude. I paid for dinner, and then she had sex with the waiter. It's actually a true story, and wasn't that funny for me. Although they were both laughing. Now that I've got you nice and warmed up, again, let's bring on our next comic, Helen!
Thank you, Billy. Always there to give us an insight into being middle-aged. It looks horrendous. So, we are still not doing anything about Garbage Island in the Pacific Ocean. An island of garbage bigger than Texas. No one seems to give a fuck about it, though. Maybe if there was oil under it, or it released a sex tape, then someone would give a shit. Maybe if we used the garbage to make a collage of porn, people would pay attention, eh?
Tell a joke!
This is a story. It's a blend of humor and prose.
It's not story time. Give us a punchline.
It's called Open Mic, and this is humor with a point.
Nobody fucking cares.
Fine, then. Nobody fucking cares, huh? Then fine. I don't fucking care. You want some punchlines? Here are your fucking punchlines. I also went on a date with a rude guy. He took me to a white supremacist rally, and he didn't even tip the valet. Oh, not that impressed, were you? How about this? I learned to juggle recently. I thought it might make me seem interesting. It wasn't very good for picking up men, but it was excellent for picking up five-year-olds. Oh, that's a little more to your taste? How about this? I'm glad I've never had to deal with the awkwardness of a guy prematurely ejaculating, though part of me is concerned it's just because I'm too ugly to cause it.
That's funny shit, man.
My ex once asked me to join in his shower routine. He thought it'd be romantic, and it was okay when he was washing his hair, but it's a bit weird when I watched him masturbate. Go fuck yourselves.
Thank you, Helen.
That was awesome.
Unbelievable.
Well done. He must be thrilled.
What? No, I just proved my point. No one gives a shit about anything real. They just want to be preoccupied with vacuous bullshit.
I quite agree.
Thanks, Ian, but I got this one. Helen, don't you see how that self-deprecating stuff made you a little bit more accessible?
Maybe.
It did. They were eating out of your hand by the time you left the stage.
I guess.
Do that stuff, then hit them with the thinker.
Whatever. Though it's kind of worth it just to beat Dana.
I think she's pretty hot.
Quiet, kitty fiddler.
Yeah. You guys ready to get silly?
Huh?
Check it out. A joint. I rolled in the joint.
Ah, perfect timing. What a day. Oh, wait, we didn't get to see you perform yet, Ian. Are you going up? We're excited to hear your poetry.
Yeah, go on, Ian.
Maybe next week. You can't rush art.
Art was performed by Colin Eckleput, Sierra Wiley, and Simon Welton. Sound effects and music by Simon Welton.
All right, there you go. That was the Art by White Noise.
I'd say so.
Yeah. What did you guys think? It was the first time you've heard the final cut.
Yeah. Editing was a bit sloppy. No, it was cool. It was really cool. I mean, to take it from Monday, I feel like we took a different approach with it. I mean, being a different kind of medium, or rather being a different kind of content, I think we took a different approach with it when recording, and it's interesting to see from sort of our own standpoints how that differed from sort of the impression we got while doing it to how it sounded versus how we do when we do the sketch comedy, which obviously is so much more lighter and quicker and punchier, and the characters are always different like that, rather than trying to stick to a character across a sort of a substantial period of time like we did this time.
Yeah, I mean, it's
I think part of, like, if what happened, we should explain, basically, is it took us, like, an extra hour, I think, to record this, and it took me about, like, 3.5 hours, 4 hours to edit the whole thing, because it was, like, there was, like, an hour of tape that I had to cut down to, like, 20 minutes, and then...
It was Simon making us cry, effects. Basically.
Yeah, going, do it again, do it again, do it again.
Be more mean, be more mad.
Yeah, and listening back, I was like, she could have been more mad then.
Act better.
Now that I listen to it, I agree.
Yeah, do you
but
know?
But in the moment, I could feel red and angry and heated. No, but it's cool listening to it back. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And it's more challenging as an actor, kind of, as much as like we can call ourselves actors in this kind of setting, but... It's, to go from small sketches to, like, a character that's pretty well threshed out, even in just one episode. I mean, it was cool, especially getting to play Helen, because I think she was one of the much more complex characters in this sketch, or in this episode, rather.
And she's such a disparate character, I think, from you personally.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, I mean, if I were to continue on as an actor, I would really have to kind of dig into that more, like, meaner, angstier side and kind of get at that character because there's so much more to it. But it's cool to try.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed this experience, so thank you.
No, and I think you definitely did a good job because, I mean, editing it, I hear, of course, like, the first take, the second take, the third take, the fourth take.
Yeah.
And usually it is the last take every time that I'm using. Occasionally I listen back and go, oh, actually, she did get it right that time and we'll that'll work. I mean, I think it, part of the reason it took us so long this time was because I'd written this script originally, I think about a year ago, maybe longer, and I've edited it about 6 months ago. I went through and edited it, and then we revisited it again this week. And I have such a strong sense of people in this script that, yeah, I think it was, I was very picky about it because I, like, every word, I understood how I saw it being played out and what would make it the most interesting, in my opinion, and what, you know, what made the conflict there. Because, yeah, I think her being really the sort of, competitive, or not competitive, but just, like, I don't like to use the word aggressive, but just, you know, sort of forceful, makes it more interesting when, you know, makes her a more interesting character and more, I guess, listenable. I wouldn't say watchable on the radio, but...
Yeah. No, I definitely agree.
All right. Well, let's play some music now. We are going to do the White Noise after show. I haven't mentioned that yet, but yes, we are doing it as usual. Of course, main topic for tonight is going to be the presidential debate. There's a lot to say there, of course, so we'll get into that. And we might have some other topics too, if we can pull them out of our backsides before the end of these songs. But without further ado, it's time for some music. This is July Talk, Now I Know. Thank you. right, there we go. That's We Are Wolves with Wrong. Off Wrong. In case you, you know.
No, that's wrong.
It is wrong. Off Wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was. It wasn't wrong. It was wrong.
No, it's wrong.
So it is wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. So our first topic on the after show tonight is we couldn't not talk about it. It was the third debate tonight. The battle. It was basically a prize fight in Las Vegas, with the two unfittest prize fighters of all time. But yeah, fortunately they didn't have a topless weigh in. That would have been horrendous. But you know, Trump.
I know, right? Like, what is he like?
Oh man, don't want to see that. But yeah, so weren't many surprises tonight, really. And that's not, so we're not really going to talk about necessarily, like, you know, blow for blow what happened. But there was a few things I pulled out that I think we should talk about. So first off, Trump made a claim that he's made before. I don't think he made it in the last debate, but he's made it in the last week about, or at least he's amped up his rhetoric on it, which is the rigged election claim. And if you know anything about how U.S. elections work, that is basically impossible. Well, first, historically, it's never happened. There's been about 30 examples of voter identity fraud in the last, like, 40 years or something ridiculous. And secondly, the people who are in charge of sort of counting votes and dealing with the electoral process in each state are run individually, and some of them are even run by county. Like, it's so decentralized that to be able to sort of manipulate it, you would literally have to manipulate quite a few different offices and departments.
It'd be a big operation
at the same time. Yeah. It's literally impossible.
It's like there are so many layers to voting, right? Yeah. It's not just like one thing. You get some mafia outside of the ballot, and
I just change one number on a computer. It's not that easy, and isn't done. And it's just such a it's a really stupid thing for him to say, because if he doesn't win now, people might just kick off. Because they feel like they've been robbed now, and that there is a conspiracy against them, and you know, God knows what kind of like violence and chaos could ensue. Not nationally in this like end of day sense, but just some people might get killed because somebody kicks off and starts goes on a rampage, whatever. Like, it could incite some pretty horrendous violence.
Well, we've seen signs of violence at Trump rallies already, right? And then you can't imagine when the stakes are that high, right?
But
he spent a solid 5 minutes of the debate explaining how apparently on tape there was footage of Clinton-related people going like, "All right, let's go. We're gonna start a riot at the Trump rally. So hurt people."
Yeah,
he spent like 10 minutes writing about that.
There is actually a video. It doesn't. I don't think it suggests that Clinton or anybody high up knew anything about it. I bet you it was just some overzealous lowdown who thought
grassroots. Let's say grassroots.
It was some grassroots stupidity. And she probably did do something along those lines, but I can't see that coming from the top. It's an unnecessary strategy. He is grasping at straws desperately with stuff like that.
And if anything, like, it's being rigged in his favor up to this point. I mean, not like the
idea
of the release.
In terms of coverage,
And coverage in terms of, like, getting this far and then the lack of support he's having from his own party. Like, it seems like, more positively rigged for him right now.
It is a weird one to think, like, if he says, like, "Oh, it's rigged," like, and people, as you sort of say, kind of get a bit antsy, because they start kicking off, because, like, "Oh, we were robbed." But, like, why do people think that they've been robbed? Are people under a misconception as to how the balance of power is? Like, if he loses by 10%, does that sound accurate? If he loses by 3%, does that sound accurate? If he loses by 1%, was that... And, like, it's like... It's like... I don't know.
But also, it doesn't matter nationally what percentage you lose by. It's about how many states you win and how many actual races you win.
Okay, well, like, percent of states you won.
Well, like, it might get to that point. Like, I mean, like the Canadian system where there's the argument about electoral reform and they say maybe first past the post isn't the best system.
No, of course it isn't. It's ludicrous.
But... Yeah, well, okay, we can get down into that another night.
But... 35% majority governments. Fuck off. Like, carry on.
Thank you. But yeah, just to use that as an example of, like, even if someone, they can argue, oh, they didn't win by this percentage, you can go to the idea of, oh, but it just wasn't properly representing because the Electoral College had that state. And,
well, that didn't that happen last time? Didn't Romney have, like, slightly more of the popular vote?
I think he had slightly more of the popular vote and slightly less of the electoral vote.
Yeah. So it does happen. And I think it happened with Al Gore and Bush as well.
But how much do you think, like, things like these kind of, like, snap post-debate opinion polls...
I don't mean shit.
Well, exactly. But is there a threat that... I mean, you and I and Sarah can all go, they mean shit. And some people who write Time Magazine and New York Post and go, oh, these are bollocks. But some people, though, will look at that and go, it says Trump's winning. And then they lose the election. And they go, but all the polls are saying... Like, is there a danger that for the uninformed voter, these snap polls, which are often trolled or sort of run by bots... could, not really maliciously, but unintentionally sway popular perception in a way that's inaccurate and actually as you say, sort of maybe some harm afterwards.
Well, that's Trump's hope, is that you look at those polls and you go, well, he's winning, so the momentum's on his side, oh, I should probably join the right side and all that rubbish. That is their plan. Go ahead, sorry.
I think one of the scarier things would be the long-term aftermath of him not winning. Like, I mean, I think we'd all have, like, this little sigh of relief, especially us in Canada. Oh, God, thank God he didn't win. But then there's the kind of motion that, you know, he's still got this populist support that goes, our leader didn't win. That's only going to further inspire us to pursue our political dreams. And then they're going to get a candidate who doesn't have such a terrible history and isn't so poorly behaved.
Mike Pence.
Yeah. Yeah. But on the other hand, though, like, I'd still rather that than Donald Trump. So in the end, things still go well. Like, comparatively. I know what you mean.
I would Mike Pence would be okay if there was, like, a Supreme Court that had a liberal bias. Then he couldn't really do too much that was fucked up. Like, he couldn't, you know, repeal Wade versus Roe or anything.
But
like
sometimes
that,
the real political evil is the more insidious one, the one that hides, right?
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, I'm more scared of Pence, to be honest. Like, watching the VP debate was terrifying. Yeah. I'm like, this guy is dangerous. He is so good at this. And even tonight, Trump actually appeared to... sort of try to emulate that Pence style at times, where he was trying to be calm and he was trying to sound like granddad explaining things the way they are to the world, because he knows what's going on. He's old. He's got white hair. Well, he's got this weird thing that used to be hair.
Whenever I see Trump, I think about my old racist grandfather.
yeah, but at least my granddad can blame it on dementia.
I can't share the same sentiment.
All right, we'll play a couple of songs. We'll come back. We got some more stuff still on the debate. Sorry if you were expecting us to talk about anything else. But we might get around to something else after. Just have to wait and see. But next up tonight, we're going to play Something by Sunshine and the Blue Moon. Because you've got to play them together.
Picture in that paper, reading rest in peace. Look out. this is what you asked for in the wintertime. Back when you couldn't feel yourself anymore, wait another time. I'm sure you'll find another issue in another life. You'll find somebody else to kiss you. Walk a thousand miles, patterns turn out to be too blue through foreign size. I gotta pay my dues, breathing on the other line. I swear that I can't be true for the good old times. Raise our fists to what we knew, yeah. Just won't do, so I'ma do me, and you can do you, and then we'll see who's good enough for who. Searching different minds, you see that there are certain issues that draw the line between your passion and my blues. None can bear the time, each seek for their own freedom at the speed of light. We tend to fuel the fire to feed them. Take a different road, only hindsight makes like a withered rose, only makes you grow fonder. I refuse to go down without fighting beyond this black hole. There will be a silver lining, cause you can knock me down. You think that you just got rid of me, but you see that I am still around. I'm not just somebody to make you happy, I'm one in a million, but so are you. I'm not gonna change, cause I just won't do. So I'ma do me, and you can do you, and then we'll see who's good enough for who. This goes out to the one that got cast aside, because by society normally just could not abide. You tell them you're depressed, they say it's just a bad day. You tell them who you love and they say that it's just a fate. This goes out to the one that we're not giving time, because people told them how they got their hearts as a petty crime. They ask you why you're cold but they don't see the passive views. Ask you why you can't trust but not how you feel being used. This goes out to the one that know they got a friend in me and the fruits in the world, and they know that it is the end. One person couldn't wait but millions more could see the truth. Where they saw something old, we could still find the use. Sometimes I feel like people only stick around me, cause they think I'll lead them to a better version of me. But I guess that's the thing about being from MD. People only go through to get to DC. But I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. Oh, I'm still here. I'ma do me, if you can do you, and then we'll see who's good enough for who's letting you can knock me down. You think that you just gotten rid of me, but you see that I am still around. I'm not just somebody to make you happy, I'm one in a million, but so are you. I'm not gonna change, cause I just won't do so. So I'ma do me, and you can do you, and then we'll see who's good enough for who's letting you can knock me down.
All right, there you go. That was Strange Fruits with Million off Blossom This Fruit for Through. What was it again? Blossom This Fruit for Thought. And fruit spelled F-R-O-O-T if you're trying to look it up.
By nice, like, acoustic campfire at the feminist camp.
Oh, the rest of the album is definitely not like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the first track was, like, some rap. Like a rap song, and like other ones.
I liked it.
But like, yeah, just saying, the album is quite diverse. That's definitely one of the kind of the ends of it. Really great song.
Cool. And before that was Sunshine and the Blue Moon from which was Depression from Welcome to the Future, if you want to look that up. All right.
On to the real issues.
Yeah. So next thing I want to talk about from the presidential debate was a topic Trump has brought up a few times now. And he's brought it up before as well, which is the bias in the media.
And wrong.
He believes there is a bias in the media against him. And
I never said that.
What do you guys think? I've got some thoughts, but what do you guys think?
Oh, I just think it's more of the same where he likes to make up lies. I don't know. It's like, I think you have certain bias in every news source, but to claim that all of the media is biased against him, like, it's very black and white, and I think we see that in most of what he says. Obviously, there's going to be some media that casts him in a more negative light. Some, like, I mean, you've got the rolling endorsements from different newspapers for Hillary Clinton, so they're probably anti-Trump. I mean, I think they've made that quite clear. But I think it's just a very elementary complaint, really. I don't think he's playing to any of his strengths there to just whine, whine, whine.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it the nail on the head to begin with, which is all media is biased, all content is biased,
yeah.
All everything that you ever read by definition has to be biased, because unless you've learned everything about everything, you are having a sort of condensed down version of whatever it is you're learning.
A simplification
of it, which necessarily removes information from it and prioritizes certain information and creates a storyline for it, and therefore it's always biased.
Right, and if you're so worried about it, like, give them something not to be biased about. Like, rather than just complaining about an inevitability, do something proactively. Obviously, like, I'm not thinking he's going to do smart policy things.
And of course, he has those media outlets that are biased for him. Breitbart, right. Fox News. He hasn't got many. and you're right. They were very explicit about it. It's not even like it's
Vladimir Putin and the RT who are like, oh, yes, yeah, this is very good.
But I think that's what's funny about it is, in previous years, you could say, oh, I think those news networks might be going for the other candidate. You know, they've gone a little more coverage to them, da da da. But this time, the networks and the newspapers are like, no, we fucking hate Trump. Like, we don't want him elected, and we're all going to tell you, and everyone here is going to be really obvious about it, because it's ludicrous. It is absolutely ludicrous it got this far, and you should all be ashamed of yourselves.
I think, was that like a direct quote from John Oliver, or... Oliver and the liberal media.
Might I say, tonight, what was his name again? Wallace. Christopher Wallace?
Yep.
He was the moderator, and he did a good job.
Fox News moderator.
Yeah, Fox News, but he took off his bias hat, and he laid out some good questions. Because, you know, I do want to talk about Clinton. She did a terrible job of trying to refute the leaked video claim. She didn't refute it. She did what Trump has done a lot of times, too, which is ignore what was said and start talking about something else or something slightly connected to it, but just turn it away from it. And that, I feel like, that's worse than giving a poor answer, giving no answer. Yeah, some people might just not, you know, ignore, you know, get, you know, be okay with the fact she didn't give an answer. But surely some people go, but hang on, he just said that you accepted donations to your Clinton Foundation in return for favors, political favors from Saudi Arabia, and you didn't address that. Like, that's a pretty big thing not to talk about.
Is that what? Sorry, just as a recap, I wasn't able to see the debate tonight, unfortunately. The leaked video was of her kind of accepting some sort of bribe.
No, it's not. Sorry, it wasn't a
I think you're confusing two.
Yeah,
things,
not the leaked video. My mistake. The leaked video, of course, was about the rioting incitement in Chicago. Sorry. But there's documents that were released from WikiLeaks, rather, that basically connect the Clinton Foundation. The thing is, she could have defended it quite easily, because she could say that all those things that she did weren't signed off just by her, but were ratified by like 6 to 12 different agencies of the US government, and are all above board, and were in the best interest of the Americas, and, you know, were designed to do what they should do, and nothing was done that was corrupt. So, yeah, there's really, you know, and a lot of rich people do donate lots of money to charities. So the fact that they donated to her charity, it might be circumstantial. And she could have made this argument, but she didn't. She just went off and started talking about how great...
Do you think that's the argument that would have... Because by ignoring it like she should have did, like, pulling a very Trump move, but a very politician-y move as well, and like a bait and switch and something just totally different to avoid attention. Like, I forgot about it, honestly. I got my mind was beginning to follow where her train of thought was going, and I forgot about it. So in that way, she didn't even have to. Any sort of critical observer might go, "Hey, you've been a bit nefarious there. You didn't answer the question. You didn't give an answer." But I think on one level, anyone that's believes she's a liar isn't going to, like, anyone who supports Trump isn't going to listen anyway.
But I'm talking
anyone
about
who wants her to be president, either on one level they don't want to question the fact that she's, like, perhaps been involved in quote-unquote corruption, whatever.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, like, it's just a sly move to kind of just ignore what could be. Because, yeah, you say a poor answer is better than no answer, but who knows what kind of can of worms that could open up, because people might still go, well, no, it's all overboard, but that still sounds suspicious. And as a good, honest citizen in the United States, I thought I was for you, Hillary, but that's pretty dubious. I'm not sure if I agree with that. Whereas if she just kind of slides it away, again, I forgot about it. Until you brought it up, I was like, oh, yeah.
Right, but we're not talking about the 90% of people which fit into those two camps you talk about. We're talking about undecided voters or people who suggest that they could still change their opinion. Those sort of people are looking for a reason to pick a side, you know, a really good reason. So if they see something that looks like straight up political corruption at the top of the political chain, you know, if they don't understand the reality of it, that could, you know, to me, that looks pretty bad.
Literally, how can someone be undecided and look more critically at what Clinton's saying than Trump and have an issue
but what
with
if,
that?
What if,
like, that's what gets me.
I feel like you're being biased here, Simon.
But what if you are a hardworking person who doesn't have a big interest...
Sorry, listen already.
You know, doesn't have a big interest in politics and political science, but, you know, the election's coming around, you've been hearing about these candidates in a while, but you haven't really paid attention to what they're about and they're, you know, and then suddenly you watch the last debate, because that's the only thing that, you know, and then you're like, I'll make my decision. You're a big procrastinator, you know, you're like, this is you reading the textbook the night before the exam. So you do this and you, you know, you're quite careful about it because you're not an idiot, you're just a busy person, and you end up basically making a decision off that.
I think if you're a busy person, you're not going to think too much about it. You're going to look for the snap, like the, oh, I got the feeling that Hillary answered the questions a bit better, or that Trump was more confident. I got that kind of feeling. Yeah.
I think she did do a lot right, and... you know, who knows? If you're undecided by now, you're right. Maybe you're not the most critical thinker, but only time will tell. Only time will tell if she wins. But I think she will. I don't know. But there is the Trump. There is the one thing we haven't talked about yet, which is the effect that happened in the polls in Britain recently, in that people appeared to be voting to stay in with Brexit in the referendum in Britain, and it would appear that there were a lot of Brexit exit voters who just wouldn't admit it in polling but would admit it when it came to actually casting their vote. And so is it possible there's a bunch of closet Trump supporters?
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard about the idea of the shy Trump vote.
Yeah.
People that aren't, like, voraciously talking about it on social media but do kind of, in their quietest part of political sentiment, believe him. Which freaks me out.
That's kind of to my point again earlier. When I was saying, like, I mean, is it healthy that we have these, like, polls and stuff? Does it not just basically give us false senses of what we think we know? Like, I mean, because if there's no polls, then you kind of have this general sentiment of, like, oh, I think this person did better. And then you can go on the internet and you see, like, Reddit comments, and you see news articles of their comments, and you get a bit of a photo from whichever, you know, of the various publications you check out. But are these polls, again, which are often trolled, which are often, like, you know, done by bots, like, are they actually harmful to, like, to true political intent?
Well, I think the reason they exist, for the most part, is obviously
it's media headlines.
Is for the political party's own feedback so that they can continue their campaign strategically. But secondly, because it's something they talk about in the news. In a 24-hour news cycle, it fills a lot of time to talk about polls, bring on pollsters, and, you know, because you can take a poll every day. So you can have a show about a poll every fucking day if you want to.
You do it on Twitter, like, yeah. You do a poll every hour and you get, like good results, probably.
Yeah, if you
like, you know, quote unquote, good results.
And that has a crazy influence on how people vote too, right? Like, if it tells them that their party has no chance of winning, and I mean, there's the danger in the Canadian election of hearing about the Maritime vote before you go to the polls in BC, and so they were trying to calibrate it a little bit better so you don't hear too early and you're discouraged from really voting how you feel. Mm. And that's interesting because polling, like, hugely influences how we vote.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny because there's not many countries that have, like, four time zones in
and
one
Russia's
country.
Vote doesn't even matter.
Even China has one.
Is that right? They have one time zone. Huh.
I
know.
Guess the other big countries aren't as democratic.
So, I got, so, like, how, but, like, how many hours does that 1 hour time zone?
It's like five time zones.
In one?
They can do, really?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Wow.
That is interesting.
You learned something new, Connor.
There we go. See, you can tell he's travelled. There we go. All right, that's 10 o'clock, guys. That is the end of our show.
But we had so much more to talk about.
Did we?
We always do.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. We will have an actual sketch show next week, I promise.
Done with that one yet.
We are gonna take a hiatus actually pretty soon, because we're working on another project, which is exciting, but very well connected, and hopefully you guys will stay tuned for more info on that. But we're not gonna tell you too much about it right now, but we will do another episode next week, and we will be back eventually. Probably we're only gonna take a hiatus for a month or two while we work on this special project. But yes, we will be back next week for sure. In the meantime, we're going to leave you with one last track for tonight. I think the last one is, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's going to be Allemande with C'est Sentiment.
Je dois garder ce sentiment. Je dois garder ce sentiment. Je dois garder ce sentiment. Je dois garder ce sentiment. Je dois garder. C'est là qu'on...